obviously.
Yeah, you should get worth on here, man. This is
what
we're going to
do. Talking about dicks, like.
Yeah.
Money draft.
I'm going to mail you a webcam so we can do dirty things together. Would you use it with me?
Mutual cube Rochestering?
Yeah.
Money draft.
Well, Mr. Alt, just I hope you beat your dick till it's raw and bloody today. And if you got to go to Bed Bath & Beyond and buy some candles and shit, you know, I hope that goes well, too.
You got to treat yourself, man.
Yeah. Got to treat yourself to those butterscotch candles for the bathtub.
Money draft.
What's up, everybody, to episode number 6. Yeah.
You're missing a word there, man.
What are you talking about, man? Don't be a dick. We're sitting here in my fucking apartment.
Welcome, everybody, to Money Draft episode 6, or 006, you know, whatever you want to say. So, yeah, we're back again. Half of this episode is being recorded in person as I'm currently in New York City right now at JR's place.
Live radio.
Otherwise known as the Justice League.
Before I had any interest in like finance or trading or anything, I just wanted to record profane radio shows in the city.
There
it's
you
awesome.
Go.
I'm also at JR's place through the power of the internet.
The internet is strong. So, yeah, there was it wasn't a quiet week at all.
So ridiculous. So last week, I was like, you know what? I'm so glad we're done with spoilers. We've had spoilers for 2-3 months now, and next week is going to be so quiet. And then every day last week, there was just a drumbeat of news. Starting off on Monday with the Clash Packs. It's just like, you know, it's like seriously, like I almost explicitly thought, like, oh, like, I'm glad, like, I'm not going to have to worry about any reprints or anything on Sunday night. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning. It's like, oh, yeah, Prefix, yeah, it's reprinted, you know. Corsair of Crufix 2, you know, like just some reprints there every day. So yeah, it's kind of annoying. I wasn't deep on anything, but I don't know if anyone was on the show.
I was super balls deep on Prophet of Crufix.
As anyone would be if they were paying attention. Like,
I don't know why that card is not getting played in standard. Like, it's not even being tested. Because it's bannable in EDH.
Yeah, I mean,
which is another reason I like probably shouldn't be so deep on non-foil copies of Prophet of Crufix. So, what we're alluding to is the fact that Prophet of Crufix is among the cards printed in the new Clash packs. So instead of doing like what they do with the event decks, where it's like, oh, here's about $60 worth of value in a $35 deck, and you can take this to F&M and, you know, not totally shit your pants in front of everyone. They kind of split the value that was in those event decks over two decks that are kind of, you know, less good, and they're going to alternate that with event decks. So Khanza Tarkir will have an event deck, and then the Clash Pack for the set after that, and then so on and so forth. So the value that is split up over the two decks is a few strategic standard and EDH reprints. So we're getting a Temple of Mystery new art foil. We're getting a Prophet of Krufix new art foil that looks very good. And we're getting a Courser of Krufix. And those are the real notables.
The new art foils on Temple of Mystery and Prophet of Krufix look insane.
They are boner inducing, that is for sure.
And even the Font of Fertility art is sick.
I don't know why they gave us a foil Font of Fertility. Like, they must have gotten all my letters.
all the foil arts in those I really enjoy.
But it was
the foil prophet has real EDH implications because it's a unique art. I think it's better than the set foil, but I think the set foil should still retain value. What this is going to do is going to tank the non-foil, which makes it an even worse spec. So the fact that it's bannable in EDH made it not the greatest spec, but like I have faith in the rules committee that they don't listen to whining. They address real problems with the game. And, you know, because they've ignored whining before, because people just need to learn to cope sometimes.
Green rares were problems? They weren't just people whining?
Ramp has a tendency to be a real problem from the rules committee's perspective. So, Prophet of Krufix does some unfair things. It basically you get to take every turn in the game, essentially, but it's nothing all that new, because people were doing stuff like that with Seedborn Muse and Vedalken Orrery and stuff like that. Titan. Primeval Titan was causing real problems in the game.
A non-ban with your
I don't really care what happens. I'm inclined to say that they're not, and we'll know like by the time this cast goes out, everyone will be like, dude, we already found out on Monday. Before the ban was announced, my inclination it was that they are probably not going to ban Prophet of Krufix. I don't think it needs a ban. I think it's good, but I think players can cope. They're inclined to cope.
Do you think, and I'm not going to ask you because, like you said, the news is already going to be out by the time we have the cast, but do you think that the reprint of Prophet of Krufix in the Clash Pack gives any indication of the ban or unban, or ban or staying in?
No, because I think they planned that a long time ago, and the rules committee for the EDH is insiders in Wizards, but they're not really beholden to Wizards.
Okay.
Like I don't think that Wizards would be like, oh, hey, you can't ban this because the reprint, and I don't think that they would be like, oh, well, the reprint's coming, I guess we can't ban it. So I don't think they're beholden either way. So I think they're kind of their own thing, and that's the way we want it. We don't want Wizards taking over the EDH rules committee. So
Wizards beholds a lot of shit, and sometimes they tell us some shit, and then they go back on the shit, you know, and that really, I got on Twitter and I was upset. I tweeted Magic Online and I told them that You doing this is dumb, and it's going to make me play more Dota, and I was happily giving you money, and forget you guys. And it's like you do something right. Why is it so hard to not just mess that up? You know, they had Vintage Masters up. It was going great. Everybody was checking the prices of the Vintage Masters cards every day. Like, people were hype about it. Everybody, like, every day you got on Twitter, somebody was posting a picture of their Vintage Masters draft. Like, it was doing so well for, and yeah, no, it wasn't a Modern Masters. Like, people weren't like touting the format as like one of the best ever, but people were talking about it every single day.
They're trying to throw more like M15 drafts, you know. But it's weird. On one hand, it's the feedback, the degree to which they like react to people's feedback is really awesome, but on the other hand, that's a little weird. It's just like what are the rules here? you know, and
Well,
that's why
here's what I. No, sorry, go
that's
ahead.
why I don't really spec that much on Moto. You know, it's just kind of ridiculous. It's just you just want to play the game, and I'm not gonna put going on big specs when there's just this kind of like ridiculous, you know, random events day to day, you know.
I think the whole VMA situation is just goddamn ridiculous, and it shows what a bunch of crybabies the community is, personally. So what happened was everyone kind of assumed that it was the VMA drafts were going to go till Kanzatark here. I don't know whether Worth said that and then later said he didn't say that.
There
I don't
was
really know, but
a term used by Allison on a forum, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Allison at all, but that was the source of a lot of people's misunderstandings. So you use the word on demand, which is kind of historically, I guess, meant in draft, you know,
yeah.
availability. So, but yeah, it
Okay, so then Worth clarified later and said, no, the VMA drafts are not going to go till Kanzatark here. And everyone went, well, fuck, the economy's going to collapse then. And everyone sold out. They're like, oh, 2 full fewer weeks to draft. Like, that's going to throw off all my calculations. And so
Well,
everyone
if you're
started
like
selling and.
hardcore balls to the wall speccing and, you know.
Yeah, okay, and like I understand that. But then Worth kind of came, he said, oh, well, it seems like people want it to go longer, so you know what we'll do? We're gonna give you what you want, and we're gonna extend certain portions. We're gonna do like the 8-4s and some stuff like that up until cons, and everyone went, boo, you guys are flip floppers, we can't trust anything you say.
Well, that's
So
most of it.
there's
Like, no
no
one's
fucking
playing
way
the
to make this
5-3-2-2s, you know.
I mean,
There's no way to make this fucking community happy. So
I wasn't upset when they went back. I was freaking psyched about it. But yeah, I know. People complain about everything, you know. I just thought that like when they pulled that back, I was just like, God, like, oh, how many times do we have to give you a chance and you just shit on it? It's like.
yeah,
Anyway.
and to me, I mean, I'm not spec like again, I'm not speccing on Moto, but like Jason, you used a term like you just, and I don't think that's not what you meant, but just the form of your sentence, it was like, oh, somehow the reversal benefited speculators, which is never going to happen. Like by definition, policy reversals don't benefit speculators. It's just that's just like a.
People did make money in the short term. The speculation
Some of
community
them
did
did,
make
but
money
on
in the short
average, they
term.
probably didn't because their information was reversed. So, you know, if someone signals something to you and then they signal something else a day later, that's you're gonna lose money on average.
But like, well, it's another quick in the dead situation where the people that hear about the reversal first can make money off that knowledge. So
That's
like,
true. That's true.
there was an opportunity
That's
there.
true. But on average, like. Policy, like it's a subtle point, but it came up on Twitter like a few months ago where someone was like, the more policy, the better in terms of card prices. So like if like for example every week or every month there would be some kind of statement from the Wizard of the Coast on like certain like banner restricted like opinions like some that somehow that would be better. But the thing is like the more opportunity you give for quote unquote transparency, the more opportunity you give for the authority to produce events. So
Yeah.
if you're trying to predict prices, you don't want events. Like you don't want surprises. So
And you don't want there like events cause spikes in paying attention and activity because people the like the banned and restricted update is an event in the finance community. Like it's every time they update the banned and restricted list, even if nothing changes, there are people like, oh, I think this is getting unbanned. I think this is getting banned. It's a real event. Like, and that's not something you want to increase. You don't want to do more of those. You don't want to have more cause for baseless speculation because prices do weird things when people think things are going to happen. So, like, if Bitter Blossom had not gotten unbanned, it would have gone from 10 to like $25, $30 just on people speculating it was going to go up. And that's not the best thing for card prices.
Yeah.
If it's just somebody influential got a stupid idea in their head and they can triple the price of a card just by, you know, writing a stupid tweet. Like, that's not what you want.
Yeah, but it's kind of inevitable because, like, it's almost like Bermuda's principle. Like, so many marginal cards have these – they're in these situations where they could just pop up by these marginal demands. But I don't know. We don't need to talk about that right now.
So to talk about what else happened on Thursday – because what does
Bernoulli's principle of pressure differentials in a flow system have to do with
everything? It's the reason why Black Lotus shoots up, because like every like small time sort of spec is just like allocating a little bit more money towards that card. So that's why, like, even though it's played the same as like Mox Emerald or Mox Sapphire, for some reason, it's like three times the value, because like everyone is just like, yeah, I'll just like kind of spec on that a little bit, and then it gets juiced up, and it's the same supply. And so that's sort of my obscure, like, kind of jokey term for fuckery, I guess.
Oh, man.
So that's a real thing in the finance community? You're co-opting more scientific stuff?
In the finance community? No, I mean, like, it's been like a thing like forever, where the finance writers that I respect that don't necessarily include, like, I don't know, like Warren Buffett or whatever, but yeah, everyone includes lessons from every discipline, you know, sports or whatever. So
there's lots of co-opting, man. Think about it.
There definitely is. I mean, and it's like,
why would you not?
I'll go to the point of like Reed Dukes, his article where that was about Standard, and I was like, I don't give a shit about another article about Standard. But if you read the article, it's not just about fucking Standard. So there are lots of analogs all over if you just look. But we're only getting into the week now. We haven't even started with the craziness that happened this week. So then on Thursday we had more news, like surprise. I mean, not only did we have the SDCC, the San Diego Comic-Con spoilers come out, which are ridiculous again, like last year, right? A lot of people were surprised by it. It was poorly received last year, but you know, that doesn't really matter to the sort of goals that people are seeking. But later in the day, we had even more ridiculousness with the VMA rules being like reversed again. So it's just like, it's so crazy. Like every day, it's just like I just don't want to. Or in a way, we're like blessed to like live in a game where like every day there's news. But in another way, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of taxing. But so for the San Diego Comic-Con stuff, what do you guys think about that? Like, I'm sort of indifferent to them, like in terms of like acquiring them. But I just don't want to hear about them.
If I have the possibility to buy them for like $20 or whatever,
exactly,
like you could,
like,
it's a no-brainer to flip them. But like, I'm not gonna stress out about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is. Like, they're gonna do them next year. Clearly,
I want the axe. Fuck you guys.
You can get the axe and you can hit some stuff down. But
the axe is the sleeper pick, man.
You
know how much
that costs. You can get the axe for free. You can get the axe for free by taking a picture of yourself in front of the Garrett cardboard cutout at your pre-release.
They're going to give 5 people the axe, I think. That's what they announced.
Just tell them that you are a Twitter and podcasting personality, and giving you the axe would engender a lot more.
It totally would. I would take all my Instagram pictures with the axe, but
yeah, you would give way more publicity to the game because you're influential. Tell them that.
Yeah.
It's
totally.
Just like,
and don't have your penis hanging out of your pants when you take the picture, because they don't like that.
Nah, if they saw it, they'd like it.
But that's what got me salty when it came out that day. I was like, I don't like that. I don't like magic trading. I don't like anything. And this is like, but the reason is like, you know, I like trading magic cards when it's motivated by analyzing formats, EDH, like whatever format. It's, I don't like it when it's like this thing where it's like, you know, you wake up and it's like, oh, here's this thing you need to buy. And if you buy it at the right time, you'll make money. But otherwise, it's just, that's just boring to me. And I just, I don't know. I used the term self-muppetry this week, which it wasn't even a masturbation like reference. It was like literally to evoke like the picture of a Muppet, like Kermit, like waving his arms and like running off stage left, and then like 1 minute later, he's just like waving his arms in the air and running off stage right. Like, it's just, you know, I like to con to be very deliberate about what my opportunities are, and I don't like to have to react to something every day. And I just, it even got to the point where when they reversed the mode decision again, you know, I was sitting there on Thursday night, and it's just like, you know, the right play is probably to sell Mach Sapphire, you know, sell something. But I was just like, I don't give a shit. I'm just gonna play some Magic and play a crappy polymorph deck in the daily, you know. So,
You sounded real fucking curmudgeonly, but I thought it was funny, so that's fine.
I'm not curmudgeonly though. Like, I'm way like more sprightly and happy than people who think that would otherwise sound curmudgeonly. I don't know. It's weird. Like, people are so different. Things that other people like, I'm just like, why the fuck do you like that? You know, it's really weird.
That's not weird, man. It's just called like people having a different interest.
But when you have similar interests, but like other interests are like slightly off, and you're just like, I don't get, like, why would you want to collect that? Like,
I'm in your house right now. Where is the Ebony magazine?
oh
No, I gotta see this in person. I gotta.
we've got some FSC magazines, we got some other stuff,
Oh man,
but it's like,
dude, we're gonna Rochester the shit out of this cube.
we were talking
Wait,
about that.
can we do a three person when Magrini gets here? Is there a way to do a three person Rochester?
If we had
You
like
guys are
some
all
kind
gonna
of
get in a
like,
circle and Rochester each other's
we're
cubes.
gonna
Maybe we get
Rochester
like
the
some kind of
shit
like
out of
new
each
like
other.
Winchester rules where it's like six cards at a time and you, yeah, maybe. But
Yeah.
yeah.
It's all worth it, man.
The Rochestering of the cube, it's gonna be a thing later. It's like we were talking about, and we were like, for a second we were like, would that be interesting or would that be horrible if we were just Rochestering a cube with ourselves and debating each other's pick with each other, which is hilarious, but it would be funny for like 5 minutes. I don't know about much beyond that, but it would be hilarious. But yeah, this thing is like, I like to be very deliberate about what I'm doing. I don't like to.
I just don't think that you would enjoy doing it with other people. You'd be like, no, this is dumb. What you're doing is dumb. I know for a fact that if we Rochester your cube later, I'm gonna make a pick and you're gonna be like, no, that's wrong. Like, don't do that. No, you're fucking everything up.
It's
It's
true. Like
wrong, it's wrong,
sometimes, like
it's wrong.
it's weird. It's like you're with a girl, and she's like, I'm like, oh, you didn't come. That wasn't good. And she's like, no, I came. And you're like, no, that wasn't good. Like, if that's the way you come, I'm not satisfied. I don't know.
What are you even talking about?
I'm talking about real shit, man. Like,
There's a
this is
tangent, man.
important shit.
It's real shit, man. You gotta know. If you don't know, then it's not real. It's not.
You've got to be with someone who is at your level of sensuality and so forth. You know.
None of this is making the
You guys have just like killed my next boner. What are we even talking about?
cast. JR turned Rochester Cube with his friends into some chick not coming. But he fucks her.
No, it's not that she doesn't come. It's that she comes, but it's insufficiently strong. And so therefore, going forward, I'm not turned on. Going forward.
From Hen's point forward, you're only getting 75%.
It's like I had the bow on top, but it was like, is that it? Whatever.
Jesus Christ.
What is even this cast?
It's the best thing ever, man. Think about it.
So, but I wasn't talking about masturbation with self-muppetry. I was just talking about the idea of just, like, you wake up and you have to, like, feel like you have to do something that day and, like, I don't know. I do not know.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of shit in magic where it's just, like, it just feels like you're just fucking... You know what's going to happen? Like, you know that, like, the strings are going to get pulled. And it's like, nah, it's going to be cool, man. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nope, here we go. Like, this, it, like you know, like, it's inevitable. Like you said earlier, like, yeah, like, I go to sleep, you know, Sunday night. And, you know, it's Monday now, and I'm expecting no announcements. And it's like, I slept in and went to work without checking daily MTG first, and Profit or Crufix is spoiled now, and I just lost like $80 or something like that. Like, you know, it's fucked up, man.
That's real shit, man.
Yeah, that's real life.
That affects people.
Yeah.
It affects people deep into the game like us, but that's not everyone. Those aren't the important people. So the banned restricted list announcement coming up very soon.
Yep. One of those events.
Yeah.
One of those events that make you lose money. Because the thing about events is that they're hard to predict because they're events. So on average,
well, there was money. People knew about Bitter Blossom. There were people that had proof positive.
That is,
yeah, just like people know that the Onslaught fetches are going to be in cons. I mean, you know, it is what it is. People know things.
The kind of shit that people are saying about cons, though, is ridiculous. I can't get behind a lot of that.
No, oh my God. Who's the idiot? Is it, it's Corbin, right? The one that wants to, the one that thinks that somehow there's going to be Eldrazi in cons.
I don't think anybody said that.
No,
that sounds
no, no,
like
no.
a Ryan thing, but like
it sounds like
Ryan. Somebody on your cast was like, "Yeah, we're gonna get Eldrazi in the fall." So that would mean that it would be
Ryan
in
might have said that like a year ago, but
no. On the most recent episode, on the episode with Sheldon, I listened to it on the train to New York today, so I know.
But you don't know who said it.
Well, who was it? Was either Ryan. It was Ryan or Corbin. Who is the one that's constantly been saying, "Oh, Eldrazi's coming. Eldrazi's coming."
That's Ryan.
Yeah. Well, then Ryan's the one that said it, and he was like, "Oh no, I still think there's gonna be Eldrazi." I was like, "Really, bruh?" And I love Ryan. Ryan's a fucking man. Every time I've hung out with him, it's awesome. But dude, really, Eldrazi in the cons block. Like, you gotta let it go. Yeah, Eldrazi are coming back. Although, I don't think they'll have Annihilator, because Mero has said on his Tumblr, oft referenced on this podcast, that Annihilator was awful. I loved Annihilator because it was griefing as fuck, but they didn't like it. And I do think Zendikar is obviously going to come back, as indicated by M15 and Nyssa and all this stuff. But I don't think... I think if Eldrazi come back... at all, they won't have Annihilator, and I think that if we go back to Zendikar, their storyline will involve like something that happened in the meantime that like the Eldrazi went away and we're going back to Zendikar. But that's my opinion. So boom. So Andrew is about to be here, I think, soon.
You fuckers are hanging out with McGreeny?
Yeah. Dude, I pointed out the echo, and you haven't muted your mic since I pointed it out.
I'm just worried that I'm gonna forget to unmute my mic.
Then Jason Ald says the Jason said in the chat, like, getting echo, and it's like, nah. This will be a fun episode to edit. So the Hall of Fame stuff's going on. And it seems like there's a couple people that have come forward, like, based on, like, all the articles and the tweets and everything, like, who's the strongest? And it seems like Mahara is up there. And I mean, I think, I don't know, the Hall of Fame magic, you know, it's tough because I have a view of the Hall of Fame where I think that, you know, I think it shouldn't just be like your top eights. Like, I think community people should also be involved in the Hall of Fame. But right now, it's strictly pro players and their ability. And that's cool. I don't know. What do you guys think about where the Hall of Fame votes are going this year?
I think the only real controversy is I see Craig Wesco stumping really hard for Herbert Holtz, and I'd like to see Heasy get in because there's a real bias toward people that play in the modern era when there's a fucking Grand Prix every weekend. And, like, well, you know, someone like Chris Pikula doesn't have any many Grand Prix top eights as somebody like Huey Jensen. And it's like, well, no shit. How many a year were there when fucking Pikula was grinding? So there's a disconnect. You know, if with a lot of new school players, you know, getting votes, I think there's a real bias toward people that live in the modern era when you can just grind more. So I
I
think
mean that's
I think that's
blatant,
sort
right?
of
But
yeah, but that's sort of stilting it. And like even somebody like Herbert Holtz who quit playing, you know, like 5, 6 years ago, there was a time when he was on a real tear and he was the best player in the world and just crushing it. And everyone who's playing now is so divorced from that. People don't even remember when he was
no.
just smashing everybody. And so there's a real bias against even somebody like that. And
And
it.
I think you know what? I think the blame for that lies on Wizards because, you know, like, Wizards try to take the same approach of baseball where, you know, you give your votes to, like, ex players and media members that, you know, have been a part of the game for a long time. The problem is that Wizards of the Coast tries to do that, but a lot of the people that they've been giving these votes to, like, they're influential community members, but they're not old hat. Like, they haven't been a lot of them haven't been a part of it for a long time, and these votes misrepresent, like, the people that. The problem is, like, we don't really have a devout history, right? So many players and figures have come and gone. So, you know, when you try to get a pool of people that are involved, right? That becomes, you know, it becomes tough to not skew it towards the newer stuff because a lot of the people that were involved in a game like Magic, you know, I mean, a lot of us that are involved see it as like a lifetime thing, but, you know, life happens and people go away from the game and that's that. And it's not the same. And therefore, when you're trying to get a Hall of Fame vote and you want to get people that are currently involved and in the know, you know, they're going to be skewed towards the newer players. And I think that's inevitable.
Like, I don't think there would be Magic the Gathering to the extent it is if it weren't for guys like Mike Long and Sean Rainer and like super old school guys that were doing fucking commercials for the game on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
And but you know, they don't have the same number of top eights in a format that didn't exist when they played. So it's I don't know. I think that there are influential newer school players that have the bully pulpits with, you know, their huge Twitter followings and their huge Facebook followings and their articles. So I think to an extent, people are like, well, I would be throwing my vote away if I vote for Pikula or Heasy or something like that. So I don't know. I think it's there's too much people contaminating each other's opinions by putting the, you know, everyone's writing an article about, you know, who the, their Hall of Fame ballot. And
I mean, they do it every year. I mean, it's inevitable, yeah, you know,
it is.
It's the same.
I think the only real controversy is, do we care that Tomohiro Saito is a savage cheater?
I am all for him being in the Hall of Fame.
I'm all for Mike Long being in the Hall of Fame, too. And like, I don't know if I'm letting my personal feelings about Saito influence how I feel about it, but like,
I have zero problem with Saito being in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if he cheated at all. Like, the dude is a staple. Like, it said in when they summed up like the people that were eligible this year, like he said, like, yeah, like Saito, like, has had the ability to warp formats when he's banned from the game. Like, tell me somebody that doesn't, you know, that in itself seems Hall of Fame worthy. And yeah, like, he's banned from the game because of, you know, this. I don't know. I don't give a shit about that. Like, the man has influenced Magic the Gathering for years and years and years, and that deserves to be remembered. And what I think, like, that's what the Hall of Fame's about. So, boom.
Yeah, and I think eventually there will be a Magic Community Hall of Fame. There has to be.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just a matter of time. I think so. So another thing that I wanted to touch on briefly. So the next two things I think we'll talk about probably are less Magic related. So if those things are going to bore you, then, you know, turn off the podcast, you asshole. That's boring. One thing is the potato salad Kickstarter. All right. I got big issues with this. Okay. And my issues with this are the fact that so many people I've seen are just complaining about this guy who asked for like $10 to make a potato salad. And now he has $40,000 and they're like, my art project should have been funded. And, you know, like, these, there are people that put their dreams into Kickstarter and they never make it. And it's a shame that, you know, people give, you know, thousands of dollars to this guy making potato salad. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, it's, you know what? Those people that donated to the potato salad guy, they're not going to fucking give you any of your money anyway. Like, they wanted to donate to the potato salad guy because it's funny and that shit is hilarious.
So there's a good article. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes or have JR do it because I'm the talent. It's called The Potato Salad Kickstarter is Better Than Your Kickstarter. And basically what it is like, it's a parody. The guy's mocking, you know, the whole Kickstarter concept, and people think that's fucking funny, and that's why they're giving him money. They're not giving him money because they want to help the guy make potato salad. They're giving him money because they want to participate in a huge cultural joke that kind of reevaluates the whole culture of entitlement surrounding Kickstarter. And these fucking whiners that are like, oh, I want to fucking make macrame vaginal merkins and nobody wants to buy my merkins. Meh.
What macrame donate to vaginal me? Merkins. That's good stuff, man.
Whatever bullshit they're making. Like, no one gives a fuck about your, you know, your muff hats. So just shut up. Like, if it were funny or novel or something that you couldn't do on your own.
You know what? We should make a Kickstarter for hand-knit superhero dick cozies.
I mean, there's not going to be – and everyone's like, oh, what's the next potato salad? There's not going to be a next potato salad thing.
Of course not.
This was a time and place sort of thing. This is when the community actually took a step back and reevaluated how we feel – about Kickstarter. The people and the average donation to the potato salad thing's $5. He's getting 30 grand because he made a fucking 9 million people laugh. That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
So like, if you feel like it's not fair because your Kickstarter to you has more merit than the potato salad thing, like, that may be true, but that's not the point.
You are correct, sir.
Did we do the Hall of Fame thing yet?
Yeah, we did that.
Where were you?
I was out. I was getting...
We talked a little bit about Mahara, and then, you know...
What were you, fucking powdering your nose?
Yeah. I was letting Andrew in. It's like plenty of like awesome stuff to do.
So what else?
Can't that just be it? Why is it always got to be something else? Why is there got to be a docket? Why is it got to be, oh, we got to talk about this, we got to talk about that, we got to put content in our podcast for our listeners? You can't see me, but I'm doing ironic air quotes every time I say one of these things. Why is it always got to be something?
Altman, why are you being such a whiny bitch?
You know what, McGreeny? You want to be the fourth member of this podcast? Is that what this is about?
I'm just here. But so Waffle Tapple, like what? In terms of the Hall of Fame debate, he's fine to go in. He's fine to go in. I don't think that's the same as cheating in Magic.
Are you talking about the God Book controversy?
Yeah.
What about Saito?
There's like tons. It's funny. There's like so many like controversies, and there's Saito. There's Mori. You know.
Yeah.
What's your
Dave Williams, the best AKs ever?
I think if you're cheating in game, you're not in contention. If you did something related like Wafo, where it's just like you evaded, like
I'm getting Savage Echo right now. You sound like the Wizard of Oz. That can go before the cast. I think that's funny.
So Saito. What I was saying when you were letting him in was that I think Saito should totally be in the Hall of Fame. I think that it has no bearing on the fact that he blatantly cheated. The man has been able to completely warp formats when being banned from the game. Like, that's somebody that should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's somebody that, like, is one of the most influential figures in Magic. Like, I don't give a fuck if he cheated. Like, he's obviously brilliant, and he's a sicko because he's brilliant and he still tries to cheat. But
I don't know.
I don't think he saw it as
cheating. I think he saw it as gaming. And
you
know what?
Of course he sees it as gaming. He didn't draw two cards. He slow played.
I think that's
garbage.
You
know what? Wizards had to punish him harder than they would have ordinarily because they had to be like, this is not okay. Because you know what? Like, before that, there wasn't a real policy.
I think that's garbage. I think, like, what he did, it was... What Wafo did was very different than what Saito did. Any sort of in-game cheating is just despicable. Like, yeah, if you pass some inside information to your friends, like, that just exploded, it didn't even intend to have it explode. I mean, whatever. Like, that's completely different, I think, in terms of the Hall of Fame. I mean... I don't know. I think Martell is like another interesting example where Martell's median scores are off the chart, but you just feel like, oh, he just needs like another year just like prove himself or whatever. Like, but I think Martell is like scoring pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, I like Martell. I don't know if I think he should get in this class, but. I definitely think he, you know, if he gets a couple more tops, I think he should be there. I mean, Martell has been a name known for a long time in the community before he really did anything. And I think that, you know, he's recently just been crushing shit. And if he continues to do that with his reputation mixed with his finishes, you know, he deserves to be there. But I don't necessarily see him in this year's class. I don't think I would go there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would, but in terms of like the ad, like the raw metrics, like there's an argument for him. You know, you have like Yusa, who has like a ton of GP performances, but not a ton of PT performances. I mean, all these guys are... I would actually vote them in. I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot there. I think... Yeah, I don't know. I still think Saito would be, like, one of my highest picks for this year. I think it was messed up that he didn't get in the past. And then probably Rietzel, Mahara. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Saito's really controversial. I mean, like, people say he, like, slowed play, cheated the shit out of it, like...
It doesn't matter. He didn't. That's gaming. He was just trying to game, man.
That's.
If you knew him, I guarantee you'd be friends with him. And that's the fucked up part. It's like when you're from the outside, it's like, man, that guy's a scumbag. But like, he's just a super. He's great at magic. Like he has the ability to totally warp American formats with one tweet from a world away. Like that's somebody that deserves recognition.
He does that like once a year, maybe.
No, but that's still like who else can do that? No one.
No one tries to do that. I don't know.
But yeah, but no. Who knows? How many Japanese players tweet pictures of decks and are like, you know, like I don't know. I think the man deserves respect, even if he has the sick cheats, he deserves.
I have
respect.
Noticed like it, like he like perks up in the spring. He's just like, all right, this is gonna be my time to blow my load and tweet my deck lists. Like every spring, like the past few springs, like you hear nothing from him except for like Japanese tweets for like a year. Like,
oh, dude, when cons drops and Saito spams Twitter with all of his decks and everyone goes nuts, it's going to be the same thing. Like,
Yeah.
Like, but... Saito just spams Twitter and it's just like a bunch of characters that I can't read and then a picture of a deck. And it's like, this is red-green for the next 3 months and this is blue-black for the next 3 months. And it's like, no, he's not right. You know, he's not right 80% of the time, but the cores of those decks are spot on. And it gives a lot of people like a head start, and it totally influences the metagames every year. So, I don't know. That's why I think he deserves some respect.
Yeah, the past 2 years, definitely. So you got Wafa, you got Juza. Yeah, I mean, I think, like Wafa, again, it's almost like the thing with, like, Chapin, like, to me, it's like, even if you think Wafo did something immoral or whatever, you know, it's not like he did something within magic. Like, he's not like he's like sat down and was like, all right, I'm going to cheat like to win a magic game. So to me, that's much different, even though like...
Yeah, and that's why I had no problem with Chapin getting into the Hall of Fame.
Sure, exactly, yeah. So.
You don't think the Wafo Taba thing had to do with magic?
It did. I mean, obviously, but it didn't, like, I don't think it actually did. I would argue that, like, it actually, like, materially, it did not.
So how do you guys want to end the podcast?
That's what I was going to say, like, some top rap artists. Not artists, but, like, songs, I guess.
I don't know about songs. I don't know. Do you even listen to rap, Jason?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So I don't know. Somebody on we had a request on Twitter, which is awesome, for my favorite rap albums, and I don't know. And that's a really hard question. But say my favorite rap artists, I think, in no order, are MF Doom. Atmosphere, Big L. Earl Sweatshirt, and maybe probably something older like a Tribe or Camp Low. That's a hard top five is so hard.
Something older, anyway. Like something that I don't know. Like I don't know any of those guys.
Yeah, no, man.
MF Doom did a like a Cartoon Network album that was pretty sick.
He did it with Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
There you go. I like
the song Aqua Teen Hunger Force on that CD was fucking sweet.
I like Liquid Swords by RZA.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I like,
wait. Liquid Swords was by GZA.
GZA, yeah.
Yeah. See, I know that shit. Difference. You tried to call me out.
I was making a move.
I know all about the woo, baby. The only Built for Cuban Links and Supreme Clientele were my shit. Oh, yeah, Wu-Tang is here forever.
We've just received a report that New York City is under attack by swarms of killer bees. They have been seen approaching from Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, and Staten Island. We urge you to stay in your homes at this time, as we will be bringing you up-to-the-minute information. This just in. Police are reporting that there's a man on top of a skyscraper ready to jump. I'm told that he is possibly Old Dirty, a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. The police suspect that there could be some connection between this Old Dirty man and the killer bees.
Atomically, Socrates, philosophies, and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery. Flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scarred, shogun, explosion when my pen hits. Tremendous. Ultraviolet, shine blind forensics. I inspect, view through the future, see millennium. Killer bees sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Shackling the matches with drastic rap tactics. Graphic displays melt the steel like blacksmiths. Black Wu jackets, queen bees ease the gutsin. Rumbling with patrolmen. Tear gas, lace the function. Heads by the score, take flight inside a war. Ticks hit the floor, die hard fans demand more. Behold the bold soldier, control the globe slowly. Proceeds the blow, swinging swords like Shinobi. Stomp grounds and found footprints in solid rock.
Motherfucker!
Yo.
Yo.
I guess you guys are not as hyped as I am.
Yeah, we had a weird night.
We're hype, yo.
Money draft.
I have another story. I don't know if you're taping, but I have another story.
Yeah, there's anything going on.
Somebody told me the story that there's this guy, well, he's like a teenager. Well, it was when we were younger, like 16 or 17. And this guy told the story that during a weekend, The parents went out for the weekend, right? And so it was a great opportunity to have, you know, his girlfriend over and just mess around, right? Because, you know, you're younger, the parents are not that, you know, permissive. So, you know, you take this opportunity to invite your girlfriend over and just fuck all the weekend. Anyway, so up at a certain point, they're fucking in the living room. On the white couch, but they're doing anal, right? But they hear.
I wish the visuals like translated to the audio. Like you're doing anal, and he's like putting his finger through his hand, like
this, right?
Butt sex.
Can you hear the noise that? Anyway. So they were doing anal, but their parents just suddenly out of the blue came back. They probably like forgot something, or they just apparently came back, and they weren't supposed to. So the dude heard, as they were doing anal, they heard the car drive, you know, coming up the driveway. So in a panic, he just pulls out immediately. But you know what happens if you pull out too fast? There's suction, and the girl just shit all over the couch because of the suction, right? And she just shat all over the couch. The whole couch was brown, and they had no time to clean that mess, right? And what happened next is their parent come at the house. They open it, you know, they get in, and they ask, like, what the fuck happened? What the fuck happened? And the dude said, hold on, the dude said, oh, it's the dog who did it. He shat all over the couch. But that's not it. You know what happened? You know what happened, guys? Guys, listen. They killed the dog.
They killed the dog?
They had the dog killed because of that, yeah. They didn't kill it immediately. They're like, he shat over, he's stupid, so they euthanized it.
Is this a real story? No, this is not a real story.
True story.
No. Come on. That was ridiculous.
That was like a Mad Studio story.
Money draft.
I don't know if we're recording. I hope not, because now it's like labeling and defamation.
What? Dude, this gets edited, man. I edit stuff.
Okay. I trust you, but I don't know. Like,
money draft.
Your mic's on mute.
Fuck you, Martin.
I can hear it now. Wow. It's not after hours.
Oh, in your face.
We're getting into avant-garde territory. Sunday night spoilers.
Oh my god. Index is so good.
Index.
You have to choose the next 5 cards you're gonna draw.
Oh my god, you stacked the shit out of that.
I'd stack it hard.
You build like a top deck in standard, it's OP. It's crazy.
Fucking Index and Miracle, get there.
Index and Miracle. Story of my life.
Does this mean that you found the clitoris with your index or something?
Money draft.
Not even sure we even qualify to the magic category.
It doesn't matter. Fuck that.
Yeah.
It's not important. We're drunk. It's like 3 in the morning and we're on Skype. We fell asleep at 7 p.m. after blacking out of dinner again. Every time I'm at your house, just fucking... Jesus. We don't ever make it past paying the check, man.
It's so bad.
But
I think we're both getting old and we're just like... You drink some beers, you eat some meat, and... Just need to sleep a little bit.
Dead to rights, man.
We need to be like heavy. Like, honestly, I think if we were drinking vodka the whole time, wouldn't have happened the same way. But
it's vodka and Red Bull, man. Yeah. Like, you can't ever die. That's why Kevin lives on that shit.
Money draft.
An anti joke.
What's an anti?
Okay, well, let me tell you a story. There's this guy. That shows up in the bar and his head is an orange. You know, he has a head-sized orange as a head. And he sits at the bar and the bartender said, "Holy shit, why is your head like an orange?" He says, "I don't really want to talk about it." But he's like, "No, just, I can listen to you. Why is your head like an orange?" He's like, "Okay, well, I found like a Arab lamp and I rubbed it and the genie popped up and, 3 wishes, the whole fucking deal. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it." It's like, no, don't, like, come on, man. Just tell your story. Like, okay, fine. Anyway, I got 3 wishes. And what was the 3 wishes? And it's like, "Well, the first wish was I want to be a millionaire." He says, "Okay, well, you're a millionaire." And, I became a millionaire. Bartender says, yeah, okay, that's fine, but that doesn't explain why your head is shaped like an orange. He's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. So what happened? So he says, my second wish is that I wanted to charm all the women in the world. And the genie said, done. And I was able to charm all the women in the world. Bartender says, well, that doesn't explain that your head is shaped like an orange. He's like, yeah, I know. But what happened? Dude, your head is shaped like an orange. Like, I don't want to talk about it. He's like, nah, I'm going to pay you your next drink. Come on, dude. I really want to know what happened. Why is your head shaped like an orange? He's like, fine. All right. So what was your third wish? Well, my third wish was I want my head to be shaped like an orange.
Money draft.
45.
Nobody knows. They just stand in the dark and bitch.
It's quality material. Keep it rolling, baby. Keep it rolling.
Hey, IP.
Let's talk about beating up midgets and skull fucking prostitutes.
Wait, is this going to be in the same podcast? Spoiler alert.
Warning, mature content ahead.
Mature content ahead.
Mature. Fuck, man.
Mature.
When the drug kicks in. Do you know what I learned yesterday? Guys.
Money draft.
Okay. Slick, yo, Slick, like, you're on mute, right? So I only have Jason.
I'm here.
Jason's giggling in my ear. So the only thing I'm hearing is... It's kind of cool. You know, it's the same noise I make when I get to eat, you know, like dead skin from a sunburn. I really like that, so I just grab it, eat it, and then I giggle. I'm like, right? You're in loathing in Jason's apartment.
If you weren't listening to him closely, you would. What? Catch that he was eating skin from his sunburn.
Who are you talking to? Are you talking to the listeners? Or are you talking to the listener?
Yeah. Money draft.
Hold on, I gotta simulate the sound of a club where there's people just drinking.
Oh, no. Yeah, so man. Much drinking. It's crazy.
We're not alone. I have the music.
Money draft.
Grabbing pubes. Is that the sign you're gonna make when you're gonna, you know, pull out the pubes like immediately? Oh, speaking of pubes, okay. High school. I remember I was in high school, right? And I was making these. I call them shurikens, you know. So it was obviously like a projectile. Basically, I folded a piece of paper so they made a square. And they were kind of thick. It was like one piece of paper. And we could, like, chuck them. And it was flying off, like, in class. like crazy. And I really enjoyed that. But sometimes, why are you rubbing your dick? Anyway. Dude, come on. I'm about to turn off that. Anyway, so.
Yeah, yo.
You mute the mic again. But anyway, so. As I was.
Fuck you!
Good. So, you know, I had fun in moral class to just chuck them and have fun in class. But I was kind of in an advanced class. Yeah, I went in a privileged, would you know that, school. So anyway, chucking the shurikens, and like beside me there was this anal kid. He's a doctor now, so you know I guess he won, but who was just ripping apart my shurikens, right, when it landed on his desk or close to him. So I was kind of like getting pissed off because he's kind of a party pooper. And what I decided to do is I started to pull out like my pubes, like full of like quite a few handful, and just put them in the shuriken and fold it and just go like, whoops, and just throw him on his side. And he just started, and then he took it and ripped it up. And he got like, and then he didn't even notice it, but he was covered in my pubes.
That's sweet. It was pretty funny.
And I think that I was laughing my ass off when this happened, and the teacher said, "I don't think you're very mature." He's like, "I'm mature. I got poof. I just covered this guy in pubes. You know, I passed puberty. That's for fucking sure."
That's right, bitch. You don't tell me about that shit.
I got hair on my dick. Fuck y'all.
Money draft.
And I should be sleeping now because I have correcting to do. I have, you know, this is my fucking to-do list. Whatever. I shouldn't. Right. Whatever. I don't give a fuck.
No, hey, Martin. Like, hey. Calm down, buddy. All right.
You have such a nice smile. Thank you.
If I was there, I'd slap you around a little bit. Maybe kiss your forehead, call you beautiful, and tell you everything's gonna be all right.
You're my couche-tard.
You're my couche-tard. Oh God.
Have I ever told you the story? No, I told you that story. It's like. Of me in my underwear throwing, pubic sack in English? You know, like, you have bags of, wait a minute, about neck. You see, now I'm swearing in French. Call is desti. No.
Yeah, every time you say tabernac, you're like, oh, I'm swearing in French. Oh, the baguette, the croissants. Tabernac. Oh.
It's not magazines. But, you know, like, you guys have bags full of fucking publicity, right? You guys get that?
Bags full of publicity?
Oh, I have one. I'll go get it. Hold on.
What the fuck is happening right now? Why is it 3:30 in the morning?
Yeah. It's getting towards sleeping time.
Sleeping time number two. God. What? The fuck is that?
It's bag full of like this shit.
Nah, man, they don't put that shit in bags in America.
What is going on there?
Okay, you see this? So this is like, you know, like Canadian hardware store.
Apparently, they put coupons in bags in Canada. And that's what he was trying to say.
Oh, coupons! Yeah, coupon bag. Metro, that's grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It's Mormon sense. It's Cuba bag.
What? What's wrong?
Canada is the best place on earth, man. They're so nice that they put the coupons in the bags.
They're full of them.
In case it rains, your coupons will get soaked.
So here's another hardware store. There's another hardware store here, Canadian Tire. It's called Canadian Tire.
Money draft.
Fuck you, right. Martin. So, I shouldn't even
fall,
be talking.
This fall.
I don't know what's going on. It's 3:30 in the morning. I'm in New York, and my life consists of Triscuits and meat.
And Triscuits.
And more Triscuits, man.
The fuck's Triscuits? What? Oh. I see the light now. I see the Triscuits.
It's like an oily kind of crackler.
Yeah, I get it. What's that? That's tomato or like?
It's meat and cheese, man. It's Triscuits and meat.
That's not meat.
That's salami.
That's bones.
Nah. What are you, drunk?
Shredded bones.
Crazy, man. All right.
Money draft.
Nut clusters. Nut clusters. Nut clusters.